Let us pray together. Lord God, thank you. It's a beautiful day, and we are grateful to be here together in your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, for the peace we received through confession of sin and forgiveness, for the hope that your Spirit plants in our hearts and keeps there. Thank you for your word. May indeed today your word speak to every one of us and bring us the hope that we need. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So, like I've said before, there is no room at the inn. It's one of the phrases we hear every year at Christmas time. It's something we see in our Christmas pageants when the children put on the story of the birth of Jesus. And this Advent and holiday season, we're taking a closer look at how do we make room? How do we make room? How do we create space, you know, in our lives, in our churches, in our communities? How do we make room for Jesus and for those who are close to us and also for the stranger? So we've talked about making room in your heart. And we've talked about making room in relationships. And so today we're talking about room for hope. Room for hope. Sarah felt the weight of the world on her shoulders. Her small business had failed, leaving her with overwhelming debt. And all of her savings were gone. Every day was a battle against anxiety. She felt utterly alone. And she was praying. She was praying desperately for a way out. She envisioned God maybe opening a new career door for her, maybe a miracle promotion or something grand and visible. And one rainy afternoon, trying to declutter for mental peace, she decided to tackle the attic, the dusty attic. And it's a space that she'd avoided for years. Buried under old blankets, she found a heavy, locked wooden chest that belonged to her late grandmother. It held forgotten keepsakes, like faded letters and old photographs, and nestled within velvet, a collection of vintage jewelry. And that piqued her curiosity. So she took the box to a local antique dealer. The appraisal revealed several pieces of genuine vintage gold and silver, including a delicate Art Deco necklace and a set of ornate brooches. So the value was astonishing, you know, far exceeding her wildest hopes. And within weeks, Sarah sold the pieces. The money wasn't just enough to clear her debts, it also left a significant cushion, enough to restart her life with peace, not panic. And she hadn't found a new job, but she'd uncovered a hidden treasure, a provision from a past that secured her future. And as she was sitting there in her quiet living room, the bills paid, Sarah understood. God hadn't just answered her prayer. He'd used her forgotten heritage, a quiet, unexpected source to bring profound relief. It wasn't the booming voice or the sudden windfall she imagined, but a gentle whisper from the past, delivered through an old wooden box. And what it showed her was that you can find hope in the most overlooked corners of life, and it's there waiting to be discovered. Do you have a story about a time God showed up and provided you with hope in an unexpected way? Or maybe you can think of a time when God gave you wisdom you did not know you had. Maybe you have witnessed God's intervention in a situation that you consider to be hopeless. And the Bible is full, okay, full of examples of how God made possible impossibilities into possibilities. It looked impossible for the Israelites to escape from the Egyptian army. And then God parted the Red Sea and he made it possible. In the desert, he provided manna from heaven and water from rock. Jesus multiplied a few loaves and fish to feed a huge crowd. When the groom embarrassingly ran out of wine at the wedding, Jesus turned water into wine. He restored sight to the blind. He healed people who were paralyzed. He even raised Lazarus from the dead. And here we have the story of Joseph and Mary. And it says in verse 18, a young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. And this was a huge embarrassment for Mary, okay? Because in first century Jewish culture, an unexplained pregnancy before marriage was considered adultery. It was a serious offense, punished by stoning. Being pregnant outside of marriage brought immense shame and being ostracized socially and potential ruin for her and her family. So Joseph didn't know what to do. He loved his fiancée, but what were the options, okay? What were the consequences? How did this even happen? I mean, was she unfaithful to him? Should he cast Mary aside publicly, causing disgrace? Should he do it privately? It's kind of an impossible situation. And then verse 19 tells us that Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone. So he decided to quietly call off the wedding. And then in the middle of this impossible situation for Joseph, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel said, Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Go ahead and marry her. And then after her baby is born, name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So it seemed like an impossible situation. And then the angel appears and there's a new possibility, a God-given possibility. In this very human and very difficult moment, God makes room for hope despite human expectations. And so the first thought I want to share with you today is that hope is grounded in God's actions. And God shares it when we listen. It took an angel in a dream to reveal to Joseph a path that he hadn't considered among what he thought were his only choices. Some scholars draw a connection between Joseph and two other dreamers from Genesis, Jacob and Joseph, and how their dreams gave them hope. Jacob, if you can recall, had a dream of a ladder going all the way to heaven. And it gave him hope because it symbolized God's covenant, a divine connection, and promises of land and descendants and blessing. And it also foreshadowed Jesus as the ultimate bridge between heaven and earth. Joseph, if you recall, dreamt about sheaves of wheat and the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. And the dream showed God's sovereign plan for Joseph to become a ruler in Egypt, not through human power, but divine appointment, and how it allowed him to save his family and the future nation of Israel from starvation. And the dreams foreshadowed Christ, who also suffered and was rejected and ultimately triumphed. And so when we build a bridge from then to now, the question for us is, how can we remain open to the hope that God is making room for in our lives? Could it be through being attentive to the wanderings of your imagination? Could it be through a dream? Maybe God wants to make room for hope in your life by someone or a messenger that God puts in your path. So are you and I willing and able to prayerfully listen and recognize God's hope when it does show up? But what I do know is that God can make room in the places in our lives that feel impossible and feel hopeless. It's what we see over and over in Scripture, what we see in this passage for today. God made room for hope in a seemingly impossible situation. And what we also see is that, you know, Joseph, well, he acted on that hope. He dared to go against the societal expectations of the day. And he did it because of the consequences those societal expectations had for Mary. And these actions were socially risky for himself also. So I want to ask you about some human struggles that we all deal with. When others find themselves, right? When others find themselves in difficult or embarrassing situations, are you eager or are you reluctant to expose them to disgrace? Do you think other people's situations, a child, a family member, a friend, do you think their situations reflect on you? Or how do you react to that? It says Joseph was thinking. He was thinking about the whole situation. Do you allow yourself room to mull things over when you need to do that? What provokes you to make snap decisions or judgments? And what prevents you from rash actions or decisions? But we see that Joseph acted on the hope he found in the dream. It says, after Joseph woke up, what did he do? He and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel had told him to do. And so part of faith is to act on God's hope when you find it. And sometimes it's a risk you have to take in faith and hope. And sometimes, listen to this, sometimes someone else in your life needs you to take a chance so they might have life and have it abundantly, as the Bible says. And the last idea I want to share with you is that it's not only Mary and Joseph who receive hope in this passage, but also Jesus, because Joseph's willingness to remain with Mary has a ripple effect. His faithfulness and obedience plays a part in bringing hope to all of humanity. It says in verse 22, so the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, a virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until the child had given birth to a son. And he named the child Jesus. And we know the rest of the story. The baby was born at Christmas, God incarnate, grew up, gave his life on the cross for our sins, reconciles us to God through faith, has returned to heaven and reigns with God the Father there for eternity, and one day will return again, the second advent. And so you see, our actions of faith can have consequences beyond what we can imagine or may ever see. The ripple effect. The Christmas story continues, okay? And God is calling you and me to be a part of that. It can be a big part. It can be a small part. It can be risky. It can be safe. But he's calling us to bring the hope of Christ to the world. So how can you respond to this message? Well, when you find yourself in an impossible situation, when we as a church community find ourselves in an impossible situation, we can get together with God and with others, and we can brainstorm and we can act. Specify what you hope for and what outcomes you would like to see. You know, when I accepted the call to the second church I served upstate in Orange County, they didn't have a parsonage. We didn't really have the means to put down a deposit and buy a house. So I clearly recall how the consistent research team, you know, while we were there outside, came together and they brainstormed and they prayed. And they came up with a solution that enabled us to purchase a house, and it's one of the greatest things we've ever benefited from. But they were willing to come together and brainstorm and come up with a solution. You can put a question that you are struggling with to God in prayer, and then you can spend the week paying attention. For example, you might keep a dream journal. You may take note of interesting conversations and encounters. You can reflect on daily scripture readings and thoughts that perhaps seem to come out of nowhere. Sometimes, most of the time, you have to sit with indecision until God speaks. And when it comes to difficult situations that seem impossible, you also need patience with persistence. There's a situation in our family, Annalise and I have been praying for months now. Months. And it's difficult for me to remain patient, you know, because even though they say patience is a virtue, you know, somehow I've always struggled with that quality in my life. But I'm persistent in asking God, even though I'm impatient, asking him for his provision and for his spirit to make me patient in waiting. So as we pray for God's spirit to help us make room for him in our hearts, and as we pray for help, his help to make room in our relationships, let us also pray for the ability and the willingness to be open to the ways God is making room for hope in our lives and in our communities and in the world. Because what looks impossible for you and me is completely possible for God. And when God gives a dream of hope, let us follow it obediently. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Mary and Joseph, and how Joseph was obedient to the option you provided him, the hope you brought into his life and his situation during that very difficult time and decision for him. And I know we all face situations where we say how and when. And we need patience and we need persistence. And we need a willingness to seek and be open for the answer that you have for us, for the new hope that you can birth into our lives and into our situations. May your Spirit enable us to make room for your hope in the midst of our struggles and difficulties. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.